Hey, what's up, everyone? Garrett Smith here, and welcome back to the Michigan Golf Podcast. And a very, very warm welcome back. Well, relatively speaking, anyway, it's awfully cold outside at this point, but it's been 4 weeks, guys, and I apologize for that. 4 weeks, and I kind of left you guys hanging. Lots been going on. A lot of good, a lot of indifferent. Nothing bad. Not that I can think of it. Well, I would. Yeah, we'll get to that in a sec. Anyway, so 4 weeks ago, I left you guys with an episode here talking about the mines, and I was just looking back, kind of trying to remember where I left off, and it was comical. And whether I made this podcast 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, or as it happens to be today, one of my famous last words before recording last week's episode was, "Hey, I've left you guys with a couple of hour-long podcasts now. I'm going to try and keep this tight." And I'm pretty sure that that pod on the mines lasted about an hour and 4 minutes or something like that. So much for keeping it tight. But today, I've got a lot to catch up on. I've got a little to catch up on. So we're going to kind of keep it organic, kind of keep it fluid here, and just kind of see where the podcast takes us. But again, welcome back. Lots gone on. I made a job change. That took a couple of weeks, and it kind of distracted me from recording anything here for you guys in the Michigan Golf Podcast. Unfortunately, I don't work with Paul anymore. He's been on a number of times, and although we're no longer colleagues, we are still really good friends, and we've played together a couple of times since, of course, and there's no end to that in sight. So don't worry, Paul's not going anywhere. I'm still going to sucker him into a podcast every now and again. We've just got to find ourselves a new recording studio. After I navigated the job change and kind of through that, I did end up getting sick. Disclaimer, not COVID, just the common cold, head cold. I won't go into details, but you guys know the drill, just congestion. But yeah, anyway, that's gross. So dealt with that for a little while, and I sure as heck didn't feel really interested in recording any podcasts for you guys with just sounding nasally. So still sounded a little nasally, maybe, but maybe not too bad. But anyway, all in all, through all of that, I have played a ton of golf. Naturally, that's kind of what I do. So I played Stoughton Bray. I mentioned that on the pod a while ago. I will still rekindle the magic with Paul, and we will get an episode out to you guys and profile that golf course. I'm going to challenge his memory a little bit since it's been a few weeks since we played, or I'll just book another tee time and we'll go back down there. So that'd be cool too. But we'll get Stoughton Bray out to you guys. That was a really, really cool golf course. We had a ton of fun playing there. Got lucky with the weather. We kind of went down on a day, and it remained overcast. We didn't get wet, though, so that was awesome. What else? Played quite a bit of casual golf, of course. I played in a fundraiser over in Muskegon at Chase Hammond. I haven't talked about Chase on the podcast, so that was cool. I haven't played there since college, which has been 12 years. So that's been a long time, and I was very impressed. Chase Hammond was awesome. So I'll get that one out to you guys. I played in the two-man best ball at Kauffman, and that's kind of what I blame on my sickness. That was a couple of cold mornings, the beginning of that cold snap we had here in West Michigan, and just out early in the morning, frost delays, just kind of fighting the fight between keeping warm and being cold, and then walking 18 holes of golf on Saturday and Sunday. I think it just kind of gassed me after having pretty relatively warm weather ahead of that, and then getting kind of cold and dealing with that. I paid the price and suffered the consequences. So rode that out for a couple of weeks, but played Egypt Valley in a fundraiser for Hope Network, and that was awesome. I got to play 9 holes at Egypt Valley that I'd actually never played before. We played the Ridge course, and I had only ever played their tournament course, which is 9 of the Ridge, 9 of the Valley. And this time we got to get out and play the entire Ridge course. We ended up winning that golf outing. That was awesome. That was with the new company I kind of became a part of and joined up with. So getting out and meeting some new coworkers and making some new friends there. And on top of that, going playing golf and getting the W, taking home the crystal. So that was super cool. And it was all for a good cause with Hope Network, and raising money for them and everything that they do was awesome. And what happens after that? Oh, golly. I subbed in league at Pigeon Creek. Talked about that. Pigeon Creek is what it is. That's a good golf course, a lot of fun, smaller. I don't know if I've actually given a full profile on them. I think I've kind of talked on them a little bit about being in between the Meadows and Macatawa, kind of that little middle ground there as far as golf courses go and difficulty level is concerned. Played in league a couple times out there. Actually played in the Mitten Golf Tour event there just this past weekend, where it was incredibly tough, and I need to temper my expectations. I kind of think pretty highly of not only my quality of golf, but everybody else's too. And so in a two-man scramble format, I was joking with the guy that runs it. He teed off on one. He was group 1A, I was group 1B. So we were kind of chatting a little bit before the round, and he asked me what I thought was going to win, and naturally, for some reason, maybe I play in too many four-man scrambles or three-man scrambles, but my mind always goes to double digits. I always think, man, there's got to be a team that can scramble to get to 10 under par, 11 under par, something in that neighborhood. However, yesterday being what it was, if you're in the West Michigan area, gosh, the weather's been crazy this last week. Just pop-up showers, wind, cold, just kind of all the elements that can make golf difficult kind of gave us some fits yesterday. And so, shoot, we teed off at 9 o'clock. I told him, I said, I bet 10 under, 11 under. Typical. That's what I was guessing. Well, my partner and I shot 4 under. So we were a far cry from double digits. But what's crazy is the guys that won shot 7. And so, I mean, they were getting there, but nobody was getting double digits. There was a 7. I don't think there were any 6s, and I think there were 2 5s and a 4. I can't recall what the leaderboard looked like when we were done. But my partner and I did not get to play with Paul. He was unavailable, so I had to team up with another buddy of mine, Ian, and we had a killer time. And we actually played together on Saturday too. And so him, Ian, and I played with another couple of guys, friends of ours, out at a big hole golf tournament, 4-man scramble out at Terra Verde here in Nunica. And if you play Terra Verde, that course is a trip. It's fun, and it's one of those where not only is a 4-man scramble fun, but a 4-man scramble with big hole is awesome. That's when the hole is like, gosh, what is it, like 8 inches wide, 10 inches wide? I don't know. It's huge. It's like putting to a bucket, and so you're always planning on going low there. But the elements played tough on Saturday as well. We got wind, we got rain. It was wet, and just I hit the ball horrible on Saturday. Thankfully, I had a good team around me, and we ended up shooting 15 under par, which usually in the big hole, you show up and you're thinking at Terra Verde, where you've got a handful of very, very, very short par fours, a couple of which are drivable for the long hitters. The par fives are all reachable in two. We hit driver 8 iron into one par five. I hit driver pitching wedge into another par five. We didn't make any eagles, but you always plan to on a big hole. But okay, I mean, they go out there, they cut a couple of tough pins, and it's just you honestly never know what you're gonna get, and with the elements, it makes it difficult. So we shot 15 under on Saturday, finished second to a team that shot 17 under, and I knew a couple of the guys in that group, and they're really, really good players. One of them has competed on the PGA Tour, so I mean, maybe an advantage, maybe not. I don't know. It's a 4-man scramble in a big hole, so it's all competitive when you get out there and you go at it like that. So second on Saturday, fourth on Sunday. Overall, good competitive weekend. And now I'm back here with you guys. So super stoked to get back to the Michigan Golf Podcast and kind of get into a more regular rhythm and record some content for you guys. And I've kind of just given you guys a very, very high level overview of where the last 4 weeks have come and gone. And I'm not really entirely sure on what I want to dive into next. But while I figure that out, you guys know the drill. I know we're 9 minutes deep, but let's grab a quick ad. And then when we come back, we'll dish you guys some up-to-date Michigan golf content. Awesome, guys. Welcome back. Thanks for breaking for that post long intro ad, and that gave me a quick second to kind of think about where I wanted to go next. And I decided to just kind of pick up most recently the Mitten Golf Tour event out at Pigeon Creek. I kind of thumbed back through previous episodes, and I'm 99% sure I have not talked about Pigeon Creek yet. So I figure, what the heck, no better time than the present, right? So before I do get into that, however, I had a couple other things kind of come to mind. I hate to, I mentioned that I played in the best ball at Kauffman, and obviously I've talked about Kauffman a ton on the podcast. It's one of my places I predominantly play, so I get out there a bunch, obviously, and talk about it a bunch. But I had a killer episode recorded for you guys. I was playing with a buddy of mine, his name is Tyler, and we've never teamed up for an event before. We had played together countless times in West Michigan area stuff, and we crossed paths at a lot of events. But we've never really teamed up for anything. So my usual partner for this event was unable to join, so I caught up with Tyler and we decided to team up, and I had a killer, like, 48-minute episode for you guys, 44 to 50 minutes, somewhere in that range. But I kept it tight. I kept it under an hour. And so I was stoked to get that out to you guys and talk about Tyler's game, talk about my game, talk about the best ball format and the element of strategy and all the things that go into that. And I had a glitch. I don't know what happened. I sat out here in my proverbial recording studio at home and ripped off a quick 40-minute episode. And I think what happened was, I usually go on airplane mode because that minimizes slash totally limits the disruptions. I found out the hard way once where if I'm recording a podcast for you guys and I get a phone call from somebody else who, of course, doesn't know I'm in the middle of recording a podcast, it stops my recording. And I learned the hard way a long time ago when I was about 15 minutes into an awesome episode that ended up going roughly probably 35 to 40. It was earlier when I didn't talk as much. But I went to hit done and complete the recording. I had inadvertently answered the phone call in the episode, and I thought by doing that it was just going to temporarily pause. Anyway, it didn't. It totally stopped. And so then when I picked back up, ended the phone call, and kept recording, nothing recorded. So had that glitch. Anyway, so then I go on airplane mode from then that point forward, obviously, to kind of keep the disruptions out of the picture. And this time, I got through this pre-best ball at Kauffman episode for you guys and went off airplane mode, and it sits there and it spins and it spins and it spins, telling me it's processing my recording, da 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 da. And I wait and I wait and I wait, and all of a sudden it just disappears. All of a sudden the recording is gone, and I lost 45 minutes of, I think I've just told you guys, 40 minutes, 50 minutes, 44 minutes, 48 minutes, now it's 45. So it was obviously a very fluid, organic episode. But I lost it. So that was about 3 weeks ago. So I didn't mean to leave you guys hanging for a full 4 weeks, but the content creator gods said, nope, that podcast isn't going live. So everything happens for a reason. So I figured, you know what? I could re-record, but I'm just going to let it ride. So here we are today. And again, today we're going to just pick up at the present moment because I got plenty of time to double back and tell you guys all about Stoughton Bray and Chase Hammond. And I won an Instagram contest for Bogey Brand. I'm still kind of getting with them a little bit, but I won a contest through them to play 18 holes of golf with a foursome at Alpine. So I got back out to Alpine with Paul and Derek and Evan and I, and they were generous enough, Alpine was, to split the 18-hole round into 2 9s. So we got out and tore it up around the front nine maybe 2 weeks ago, and we still got to get the back nine in. We haven't done that just yet, but I'm working with Bogey Brand to just kind of get something out because I want to tell you about them. They seem super cool, and they're new to me as of this year. I just started following them on social media and kind of getting the gist of what they're doing, and so I kind of want to let you guys know as soon as I better know. So let me get some more info on Bogey Brand and kind of what they're all about, and then I'll tell you guys about that in a future episode too, and we'll kind of divert and go back to Alpine. But Pigeon Creek. So I'm not going to take an hour of your time today, even though I've already dipped into about 15 minutes or so of it. But Pigeon, again, it's right kind of, it's comparable to the Meadows, which I've talked about, and it's comparable to MacTel Golf Club, which I've also talked about. So if you've played those since I've shared them with you, awesome. If you haven't, fall rates are killer. Got a great week ahead of us. Mid to upper 60s. I think it's low 70s this weekend. Go take advantage. Fall golf is beautiful. I'm sitting here in my backyard in the studio, and I'm just leaves are orange, leaves are yellow, leaves are red. It's incredible out, and the sun, it's obviously, it shines different this time of year than it does in the summer. So go play fall golf. Take advantage if you got the time and before daylight savings time kicks in, because give it another couple of weeks and we're all going to be sitting at home at 6 o'clock in the evening and it's going to be pitch black outside. So if you're doing the 9 to 5 and after work is the only time you can play, now's a great time to get out and sneak in 9 before the sun sets. So go check out Mac, go check out the Meadows. I'm gonna probably try to get back out to the Meadows here soon. I've actually got a gift certificate to play out there through the event that I played in at Chase Hammond. If the guy that invited me out to Chase is generous enough to invite me out to the Meadows to take advantage of that, which I hope he is. But Pigeon Creek is going to be the smallest of those three. So again, kind of Link style, very flat terrain, a very open golf course, but just it's the smallest one. I mean, you guys know golf courses, sometimes you get big golf courses like Mac, big fairways, big greens. The holes are far apart. You're kind of cruising in between holes sometimes, and there's a lot of space. The Meadows is a little bit tighter. They kind of keep it tight there. The front nine is pretty compact, but the holes are long. You play the tips out the Meadows and you've got a long golf course on your hands. And on top of that, the wind blows. Greens are quick and smooth usually. And during the summer, it's firm as all get out. So the ball bounces a ton. And Pigeon's going to be your more local friendly golf course for golfers of all ages, skill levels, abilities, genders, whatever it might be. I mean, you're going to enjoy a round of golf at Pigeon Creek. And from a playability standpoint, it is. It's very open. I mean, 90% of the holes, I mean, you've got room to play. So it's one of those where you feel like you can go out there and you don't have to keep it on the straight and narrow. You can spray the driver a little bit or whatever you're hitting off the tee, and you can get away with it. The property does have farmland, cornfield this year, that borders the kind of the property. So there's a few holes, like one for the first hole right out the gate has cornfield to the right, and so that's out of bounds. So if you spray it too far right, then you're out of luck. But and there's a pond on the left. So here I'm telling you guys, this is a wide open golf course. And by the way, you play the first hole and it's OB right, water hazard left. So good luck. But for real, it's friendly. It's still forgiving. And I always kind of got to think to myself here, like what is my definition of wide and big landing areas versus maybe other people's? And I need wide landing areas. I need fairways that are like 40 yards wide, and then I need about 20 yards of rough on either side because I spray the ball. Accuracy is not my game, especially off the tee. Although I drove it really stinking well on Sunday at Pigeon, so that was awesome because I drove it really stinking poorly on Saturday at Terra Verde. But you're gonna have holes out at Pigeon Creek. There's a couple of par fours that from the tips, from the blue tees, they have three sets, blue, white, and red, that are in the 440 range. You're gonna have a few par fours that measure that long, and then a couple of par threes that'll really test you. There are par threes out there that'll give you every bit of 190 to 220 yards, and they are challenging par threes. And the thing that's the most challenging about Pigeon Creek, no matter what day of the week it is the wind. I mean, it's again kind of the open field, West Michigan. I mean, you're gonna get the wind that blows off the lake and kind of comes through here ripping. And when we teed off yesterday at 9 a.m., I got to the course at around 8:15 and was hitting some balls and not a breath of wind. We get to the first tee at 9 o'clock, not a breath of wind, and we're thinking, awesome, we're in for a day. This is gonna be just primo, great scoring conditions. It's calm, it's partly sunny, partly cloudy, kind of that deal. And I tell you what, by I think we were halfway down the nah I think we teed off on did we tee off on four at this point? I don't know. It rained. We got rained on naturally. Wind starts to pick up a little bit, pop-up shower comes, we go from benign scoring conditions that are going to just be awesome to all of a sudden getting rained on. And so we got wet kind of early there. Hole one, like I said, I'll just give you guys a kind of a more brief overview. Par four, straight away, pond left, OB right. There's a fairway bunker out there. I can hit it past it. I almost got past it on Sunday, which I was pretty proud of considering it was about 44 degrees outside and the ball doesn't fly super far when it's only 44 degrees. So that was cold and almost covered that bunker. I think it's like 265 or so to carry it. But again, it's not the play. You can put it out in the fairway and leave yourself 150 yards in. I bomb driver and my partner and I, we had 110, I think, into that green-ish. Yeah, about 110. So big green, front right green side bunker that'll kind of guard it, but it's overall a large flat putting surface, as most of the ones at Pigeon are. But the greens are in phenomenal shape. The superintendent out there keeps such good care of the greens. They had already aerated, and it had been a couple of weeks, I think, by the looks of things. But those greens were so smooth and so pure, and as pure and nice and smooth as greens are, the ones at Pigeon are tough to read. So we had a tough time kind of getting a bead on left to right, right to left, inside the hole, just outside the hole, things like that. And we ended up par in the first hole, heading to the par three second. And I'm used to playing Pigeon from the white tees in a league. And from the white tees in league, again, I had to kind of open my eyes a little bit yesterday playing the blues because it's 155 yards from the whites. For me, it's a 9 iron, usually with a wind that kind of is coming off the left, or I'm sorry, coming off the right, blowing left, so it kind of helps just me hit a high draw in there. But from the blue tees, it was 195, 198. I mean, we were right there, just under the 200 mark from the blues yesterday. And again, still 44 degrees outside, so I mean, you're hitting every bit of a long iron and hoping to get there. All three guys, I ended up hitting last in our group. The two guys we played with, our opponents, they hit irons, came up short. My partner hit an iron, came up short. And I just tried to do what I do and hit just the highest, hardest draw that I could with a 5 iron and just barely caught front edge. So that ball was easily flying at least 10 to 15 yards shorter than potential. But caught the front of the green. Again, huge green, so we had quite a lengthy putt, but we're able to get away with a 2-putt par and on to the next. Three's a par five. And I'm already eating my words telling you guys about this. I say there's room to spray, and all of a sudden you get to the third hole, and here you go again. Pond right, pond left. And it's a par five that's 553-ish yards. And so it's a monster, and it plays into the wind. So again, honestly, one of the tougher holes for me because if I bomb it on a good day, I can carry the pond on the right, which isn't where you want to go. And like another noteworthy thing I just realized, I tell you guys a lot about things that are right, things that are left, things that I try to carry. I don't, if you haven't picked up on this already, you're going to pick up on it now because I'm going to tell you, I don't aim at the fairway very often. And I should probably consider that when I'm hitting tee shots because I aim at things that are next to fairways and try and work the ball off of them. I aim at things in the distance that are also probably not in the fairway. So I might have to maybe I'm onto something here. Maybe we can re-strategize how I get off the tee together. So maybe I don't put the ball in so much trouble. But this particular day, obviously being cold, I did not try to cover that pond on the right. I aimed left and ended up hitting it left. Thankfully, my partner was like 120 yards left. So sorry, Ian, but he was over in the left side of nine fairway, which is runs adjacent to three. But it's par five. It's 3-shot hole, so it's fine. So we end up just whacking a layup up there and having 100, and I think literally 110 yards again into this hole, and really hit the green in regulation and 2-putt for par. So we're off to a nice par 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 start in a 2-man scramble, but then we get to four, which is one of the first like long par fours. This one's 440, every bit of 440, if not more. And this was cool because this is the long drive hole, and it was early in the day. I hadn't driven it well the day before, but this hole, for whatever reason, I've really enjoyed hitting tee shots on four. I've hit the fairway here the last four consecutive times I've played this course, and Actually, I won the long drive on Sunday, which was awesome. So I'm happy to report that. But I hit a driver and we had 130-ish yards in, 137, I think, or something like that. Yeah, 137, because I hit a pitching wedge after that. And anyway, it was in the fairway. So not only was it long, but it was in the fairway. So that was huge. And that ended up holding up all day long. And I ended up winning the long drive for the Mitten Tour event yesterday, which was pretty sick because I don't win proxies very much. I hit the ball far, but I don't normally hit it straight. So long drives when it's got to be in the fairway, not my jam. And I'm good at hitting greens in regulation, but I'm not really that good at hitting it closest to pin. In a golf outing, in a scramble like this with 48 teams or whatever we had yesterday, there are a lot of people that are going to hit the ball closer to the hole than I will. I kind of, when I'm playing well, I'm just a green regulation two putt par kind of guy, maybe make some birdies here and there, but it's very fluid. So CTP closest to pin is not my jam, but long drive, I snuck one out there, so I was pretty proud of that yesterday or Sunday. Next hole is another long par four again. This one's got a narrow fairway, but the landing area is wide. There's cornfield to the right, but kind of moguls to the left. But again, you're outside of fairway bunker, you're not going to be in too much trouble if you stay out of the sand. It's a long hole, so it's a good healthy 450 yard par four from the tips. So I underestimated the distance significantly yesterday because the course plays a lot tougher from the blues than it does the whites. I will say that for darn sure. Well, we ended up parring. I'm sorry, we parred four, we parred five, so we're off to a par start. I think that was the right number of pars. And we get to six, which is, six is a cool hole. Six is one of my favorites because it's potentially a go for it, just awesome risk reward hole. It, I don't know what it measures, but there's a pond, it's a dogleg left around a pond, and if you can carry it a minimum of 265 yards, you will clear this pond and you will be in the rough and you can go right at the green, leaving yourself a flip wedge to a pitch shot, depending on how far you carry it and how hard a bounce you get. So this was cool because I don't normally go for it. When I sub and leave, we play the whites, and a lot of times you just don't want to be the guy waiting for the green to clear on a par four and have groups stack up behind you and then duff it or do anything dumb like that. So I don't traditionally wait for greens to clear on par fours, regardless of how short they are in league play. So this gave me a cool opportunity. My partner Ian put a 2 iron out there in the right side of the fairway, played it smart and safe, put us in business. And then I tried to hit a high nasty bomb, which I hit a high nasty toe hook right into the pond. So I was super stoked for this tee shot and to take advantage, and I did not deliver. So I let my partner down there, and we had to play his ball from 170 yards out in the right side of the fairway. And so again, on into 2 putt par, and the streak continues. And finally, on seven, we got off the train. It's par three, 140 yards ish, nothing crazy. This is where you get to, my opinion, 6 through 16 is like my personal scoring stretch at Pigeon Creek. And six, obviously, the drivable par four, potentially drivable, but short par four. Seven, short par three. 140 yards. We hit a pitching wedge in there. My partner Ian rolled in the putt for birdie to finally get us into red numbers and get us off the par streak. So that was cool. And then you go to seven, which is another short par four that's drivable. Again, this one was 260-ish to front edge of the green over a pond. So this is kind of an awkward hole. If you're not going for it, it can be tough. There's fairway bunkers out there to the left, but it's a dogleg right around a water hazard. And if you don't hit it far enough out from the tee box, the stuff that's around the water hazard, there's bushes, there's like long cattails and things like that. You can actually have your view of the green obstructed if you don't put the ball far enough out. So you do have to either just buckle up and hit a good long shot straight towards these fairway bunkers, but make sure you stay short of them, or you take a cut at the green. That's what we did. I hit one out there, ended up long left of the putting surface, and we pitched on and made birdie. So, hey, back-to-back birdies. We're starting to feel like we're gaining some momentum here. And heading to nine, Ian and I both missed the fairway left, but I got him by some yardage. So we took my ball and had to play out of the fescue, which in a two-man scramble, it's one, it's October, so the fescue's not that penalizing, and two, it's a two-man scramble, so you got ball in hand anyway, so you get to kind of give yourself a good lie. So we took that one, had 150 yards in, maybe. I hit a 9-iron in there. Ian hit something. Very lackluster shots. We ended up two-putting for par to make the turn at 2-under. The guys we played with, however, they played from the fairway, and they hit a shot in there to about maybe 15, 18 feet, decent range, and they made the putt for birdie. And the reason that is significant and the reason that I'm sounding somewhat excited about this is because they're good dudes. One, I knew one of them, Ian and I both knew the one of them from high school golf, and he's still local, so it was cool to catch up with him and see him again. And they poured in that birdie putt to win the only skin of the day for $960 or something like that. So you get out there and you got one skin out, and it's a birdie on a par four. You're like, man, that kind of puts into perspective how tough conditions were. And the reason why that the birdie was the only skin was because there were no eagles. And for me, I tell you what, if you would have told me at the start of the day that 46 or 48 teams were going to go around in two-man scramble around Pigeon Creek and there would not be a single eagle, I would have told you no chance, because there are too many gettable holes. And I'll get to that in a second, because I desperately tried to make a couple of these gettable. And anyway, we make the turn at 2-under and go to 10. 10 is a par 4, slight dogleg left. Oh, man, this is where I really thought we were going to build some mo here. We were really going to get the ball rolling. I blew my tee shot super far right. Well, not super far right, but that's not why we're building momentum. We had 100 yards in. I hit a wedge shot in there that landed about 4 feet from the hole, spun back to about maybe 7 or 8 feet. And Ian poured in the putt for us, so we got to 3-under, and now we're cruising. And obviously, kind of making the turn at 2, putting the course into perspective a little bit with the blue tees, and just playing the conditions we were playing in. At this point, the wind's picked up significantly. I'm thinking, Ian and I were talking, Ian called it from the beginning, he said 7-under. It was kind of his target to win. I thought we could still get 8, 9-ish. Obviously, that wasn't in the cards for us or for anybody else yesterday. But I really thought when we got to 3 through 10, we were going to go on a tear. Because if we could dodge the bullet on 11, 11 is a long par 3, played 178 yards, so 100, call it 180. But at this point, again, into a stiff wind, there's water right. You can go left, but they had a front hole location that was kind of difficult to pitch to if you were long or pin high. I ended up hitting just a stupid, ugly shot. Ian hit one to the right of the green that ended up being in the hazard. And I hit just this stupid high hook 6-iron that ended up just past pin high. But I kid you not, 35 yards left of the green or something stupid like that. So I'm sitting over, my tee shot on 11 is over on the approach to 12 fairway, the par 5, the next hole that we're going to. And unfortunately, we did not get up and down, so we did have a blemish on the card. We went from being team no bogeys, which you're always trying to be in a two-man scramble, to team one bogey, and back to 2-under par. And I think that really kind of stalled the momentum a little bit, to an extent, because I hate making bogeys. I hate making bogeys on my own ball, and I hate making bogeys even more in a two-man scramble. And so going to the next hole, the par 5, going back downwind, I had a little extra. I had a little another gear there for us to tap into, and I hit a bomb. And this is one of the tee shots. I drove the ball super well in the back nine, so this is when I started to kind of get stoked, because par 5, 553 yards, I think it, no, 500 and, no, I don't know how long this one was. I'm trying to think. I didn't lose audio here, but I'm trying to think. Anyway, distance is irrelevant. We had 190 yards in. So 190 yards in, downwind, and our playing partners, or the guys we were competing against that we were joined up with, they had like 240, so I had 50 yards on these cats, and I'm sure they weren't the only ones I had 50 yards on. And so I'm thinking, we're in the middle of the fairway, 190 in, let's take advantage of this. And then I forget that it's 45 degrees out or 50 degrees out at this point, even though the wind's blowing, the ball is still not always flying. And my dumb self decided it was a good idea to try and hit a 7-iron from 190, even downwind in the cold. And it was just a, during the summer when it's 85 degrees outside, I can jump a 7-iron from 190 and probably get pin high. I just knew I didn't want to go long. The pin was in the back. And so I was playing for middle of the green, which I thought if I could fly this ball 180, then, which I could juice a 7-iron 180. That's 7-iron is my 170 club. So to get it 180 isn't a huge ask, except for not taking the conditions into account. So anyway, my 7-iron comes up front of green. Ian came up short. So we took my ball and two putters for birdie, which was nice to get the bogey back so quickly, but back to 3 under, and really wanted to make eagle there. That would have been a really cool opportunity to do that, to get a 3 on the card, but wasn't going to happen yesterday. So going to the next hole, we're looking at a couple of short par fours, three consecutive par fours that are right in that like 360 neighborhood, and I call those short par fours because for me, if I can hit a good strong tee shot, I'm going to be left with 60 to 80 yards into these holes. So anytime you get driver lob wedge for me in particular, that's a green light. That's a go zone. It's birdie hole. So we did our best. This was the first time we hit. I bombed one up the right, and we had exactly that. We had about 80 yards in, I think 78 yards. And Ian and I both hit really good wedge shots. I was closer, probably I had about 10 feet, maybe 12 feet. Ian was about 15, 18. And he was putting slightly uphill right to left. I was downhill left to right. We, for some reason, which my dumb self said, let's take mine. For some reason, I just felt like I could see the line. I felt confident. And I didn't take into account the fact that I was not putting well. And so Ian hits his putt, misses. I hit my putt, push it, don't even give it a chance. Doesn't scare the hole, ends up missing like 2 feet right. So that was just a bad decision. And I think we kind of lost a little bit of our mo there too. Two putting for par there after having two good wedge shots in, two decent wedge shots, two good looks at the putt. And then going to the next hole, same thing. I hit a drive, just bombed it right down the middle, and had maybe this one was into the wind. God, what do we have? Another 85 yards, I think, something like that. And I put a wedge in there about 8 feet behind the hole. Neither Ian nor I could make that putt. So again, that kind of it's kind of a gut punch when you sit there and you hit good tee shots. You hit good wedge shots, and you just can't make the putt. And in a two-man scramble or in any golf, you've heard me say it before, putting's where it's at. If you can't make putts, you're not going to shoot low scores. And that was super evident yesterday because thankfully Ian could putt. He made all five of our birdie putts yesterday or on Sunday. I made none of them. And shoot, I couldn't even make the putt to save par, and that caused us a bogey. So my putter was not hot. And sometimes that's just the way it is. But I went to the next hole again, short par four, 365 yards. I hit one out there. We had 60 yards into the green and hit a wedge in there to, I kid you not, like this had to have been 6 feet, 6, 7 feet. It was closer than the one in the last hole. And just a slight left to righter. I mean, it's a left edge putt. And neither Ian nor I could make this one either. So now we're really just kind of fuming. We're coming off the three short par fours. We gave ourselves three very good looks at birdie, and we made none of them. So we went from being 3 under, looking to get to potentially five, if not six, to still being stuck at three through 15 holes. And we kind of lost a lot of the mo, lost a lot of the energy. And those par fours, there's nothing crazy about them. They're short, they're straight. One of them has a pond to the right. That's 14. 14's got water to the right, but nothing really to speak of besides that. And then you go to 15, which comes back around that same pond, and it's got water up the right, but plenty of room left. And so those are good holes. I love the back nine just because it's the back nine's fun. And the back nine at Pigeon there, I should have told you guys this before. The front nine, you get a lot of holes that run east-west. So you're into the wind, downwind, into the wind, downwind, into the wind, into the wind, into the wind, downwind, stuff like that. And you go to the back nine, and the back nine's got holes that run north-south. So I love that because I'll play a cross breeze or a crosswind before I play a into the wind hole anytime. I hate into the wind holes. So I'll take the back nine at Pigeon over the front any day just purely because of wind direction. But heading to the next hole, at this point, we're still kind of locked at 3 under par. And again, live scoring, live leaderboard, so we know where the guys are at. 6 under is looking good. Except for that group at 6, we knew they were finishing on par 5, so there was a good chance they were going to make birdie and get to 7. We're on a par 5. I hit another absolute bomb on this hole, and this is a tough driving hole. There's pond left, OB right, and if you hit it far enough, the pond is most definitely in play. Most people will probably not have to worry about it, but some of the guys that hit it probably 260 to 280 to beyond that, you're going to have to take this pond into consideration. And we had, again, what did I hit into this hole? What did we have, 210? Yeah, we had 210 yards. So I succumbed to the same problem that I did on back on 12. Downwind, out of the middle of the fairway, 210 yards. On a normal day, I can hit 5 iron and cover that, no problem. Unfortunately, I hit 5 iron, catch it a little toey, ends up in the front left fringe, which was fine. I did almost chip in for eagle, and I was making sure that I was going to miss left because there's front right greenside bunker, and I didn't want to play out of that. So Ian kind of put one over in that direction. I didn't quite know if he got sand or not, but in a two-man scramble, you don't want to be hitting a greenside bunker shot. Even though our partner, the guys we played with did, they got up and down, made birdie from the bunker. But I didn't want to have to do that because I don't know what Ian's sand game is like, and you're just not hitting bunker shots in two-man scrambles very often. I almost chipped in for eagle to get us to 5 under, which would have been huge. But we ended up with a tap-in birdie to get to 4 under, heading to the par 3 17, which is a monster of a golf hole. So this hole measured, we lasered it at like 202 or 203, something in that neighborhood, but straight back into the wind, and it was blowing hard. I smoked a 3 iron and barely got to what would be considered pin high. Pin was cut on the front, so I barely got to the front of the green. Ian hit a 2 iron that not a lot of guys carry 2 irons anymore, but it was perfect for this wind and for this hole because he hit just kind of a low, no spin, screaming kind of stinger in there that landed about pin high and then released about 20 feet. And to have a birdie putt on this hole was an achievement in and of itself. And I told Ian, we're walking to this green, we're at 4 under, and I said, dude, you put us on the green, I'm making this putt. Do you think I made the putt? I came close. Close, but close only counts in what? Horseshoes and hand grenades? I think that's what my grandpa always says. So no dice here. But Ian almost made it. He hit a great putt that just kind of burned the right edge. I hit a great putt right behind him that looked dead center the whole way. Last probably 4 feet, 3 feet, it broke off just ever so slightly and missed. And so we went from looking like birdie was going to be awesome, give us to 5 under, and at least kind of give us a chance heading to 18. If we could birdie the 18th, get to 6, maybe those guys that were sitting at 6 don't get to 7, but it just wasn't meant to be for us on the greens that day. So that's okay. Going to 18, shoot, we hit, a couple of tee shots. 18's got a pond on the right that comes into play, and the wind was blowing hard, kind of into and out of the left. So it was 18, we're 4 under, we're kind of frustrated at this point. We both just hit driver. Ian hits one that kind of dives right on him a bit, ends up bouncing down towards the pond. I end up hitting one that just hugs the fairway and pond line, and it just takes a gnarly hop to the right. And so when I knew when it took that bounce to the right, it was probably going to be down in the drink. And thankfully, Ian's held up in the rough. It had enough of a dive on it, not to throw shade at you there, Ian, but it you dove hard enough right that it didn't get us into as much trouble as it should have, which was a blessing in disguise because it left us with about 128, 130 yards. When I was in the pond, we thought he was in the pond. We just figured we were taking a drop and having to knock it on one putt for par to get out of there at four under. But thankfully, Ian was dry. We hit down to the green, left ourselves another ho-hum 30-footer and a great spot to two-putt from. So we proceeded to do that. Big, flat green, just like I kind of mentioned, most all of them at Pigeon Creek are. And onward and outward, four under par. And at the time, and we knew it was going to be kind of a bubble spot as far as finishing in the money or kind of how that shakes out. But just with the flighting, we ended up finishing fourth in the first flight, which was a paying position, so that was cool. Got a little cash on the side for that. Like I said, my long drive proxy held up, so that was fun. And all in all, man, it's just that's the fun thing about golf. Sometimes, like if looking back at the Mitten Golf Tour in the summer that I had playing with them, it was a blast, and I'm just pumped for next year. I can't wait to play in more events because they had a ton of events before Paul and I got out to the Meadows that I hadn't looked at the calendar or looked at their schedule, and I hadn't even tried to coordinate and put on my calendar. So definitely on the radar for next year because the Mitten Golf Tour, I can't speak highly enough of it. The guy that runs it is just a class act. He's a great guy, and I've really enjoyed getting to know him and just kind of exchanging emails, Instagram messages, conversations at events. So really looking forward to getting out and playing with them more next summer. They do a great team of the year points race all season long, so I'm looking forward to hopefully getting my name a little higher up that list than I did this year and just having some more fun with it. I find two-man team events, whether it's best balls or scrambles, are a ton of fun. And sometimes I get so hyper-focused on individual competition that I forget about this kind of stuff. So it's fun and refreshing to go out there and have a buddy and have a team environment and compete. So again, I know I've talked Mitten Golf Tour before. If you haven't checked them out, I highly recommend you do. It's obviously late in the season now. They have two events this weekend, but the entry deadline is come and gone. And so that's going to kind of conclude the Mitten Golf Tour season for me and obviously for everybody else. But keep it on your radar for next year because they do a great job. The events are fun. The competition's stiff. And it's crazy. It's golf. It's food. You play a lot of great golf courses. We played the Meadows. Paul and I played Quail Ridge. Then I got to get out to Pigeon Creek. And the winning score varies. I mean, shoot, it was like 13 at the Meadows, 13 under. I think it was like 15 at Quail, and then you get out to Pigeon, which is probably, forget probably, on a normal day, if this was maybe a month ago, Pigeon Creek is by far the easiest of those three golf courses, but it has a winning score of 7 under. And that's the cool thing about golf, and that is, shoot, I think I say that in almost every episode about something different. So to kind of draw things to a close, golf has so many cool things about it. And you don't need me to tell you that. You guys are all Michigan golf fans. So every day is different. Every day the game is different. The course is different. The guys you're playing with can be different. The weather is going to be different. And that is like my favorite thing about this game is it's ever changing. And so you kind of roll with the punches. I mean, the highs are high, the lows are low, and you kind of ride the waves, anything in between. And so that's why we're here. That's why we're here. We're talking golf. We're playing golf. We're having a good time. So while the sun's still shining, while it's not dark out at 6 p.m., while it's not super duper cold, get out. Go play some fall golf. Enjoy it. Michigan's got, like I said, a ton to offer. So hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Welcome back. Glad to have you guys. Glad to be back. And looking forward to kind of doubling back and getting some pretty awesome content out to you guys about Stoughton Bray, about Chase Hammond. I might get out to the Ravines soon and play. I've got a couple other courses I still want to hit yet. And time is just going by too fast. When I looked at the calendar and saw that I had left you guys hanging for a full month, I felt really sad by that. Not just because I left you guys hanging for a month, but also because a month has gone by. And I'm thinking, man, who controls the speed of time right now? Because if there's anybody out there that can maybe slow this down for me, that'd be really, really cool. Or speed it up. I don't know. It just depends on your perspective. We're living in a in a weird world right now. So maybe some of us are looking more forward to 2021 than we are to sticking around in 2020. So either way, we're going to be back with you guys, long story short. More golf content to come. Thanks again for tuning into the Michigan Golf Podcast. Welcome back. And we'll definitely get some more stuff out to you guys soon. Thanks a bunch. And until next time.